happy to be in worship. We happy to be in church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Angie, for sharing that testimony. We ought to be sharing testimonies, even if we think it's not a big thing. I think that's so wonderful, and I hope that God gives you the ability to share the gospel even more and more at your work. I pray that He does that for most of us here. I love the last part of the song that we sang last. You are my portion in my salvation. See, church, if we understood that, we would have no excuse, no reason not to say hallelujah. That's why that song is so wonderful to me, because he says, hallelujah, you are my portion, you are my salvation, hallelujah. If you understand that God is your portion and your salvation, you cannot help but say hallelujah. Amen, church? Amen. The Lord is so wonderful and so great, church. There is no one like Him. There is no one like Him. He gives us what we don't deserve so often. He fills us with His grace and His mercy so often. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And as you turn there, I want to read this verse. Listen to it closely. It's 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Amen, church. Listen to me. God loves us so much that He is patient with us, that 1,000 years is like a day to Him. Why is that so important? Because He's waiting for you to repent and come to Him. God does not want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And how do I know that? Is because He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Amen, church. God is so wonderful and He is so mighty. I hope we understand that as believers in Christ. He is so wonderful and He is so mighty. There's no one like God who has the power and might that God has. The power to save even today. He is so awesome and so great. I hope we can continue to praise. I love that about prayer and praise on Wednesday. Wow, did I hear a lot of praises? Amen, church. Amen. God hears our prayer request and He answers us. That's an amazing thing too. But listen to me, He also hears our praises and He blesses it for us. See, there are many believers that are unsatisfied with God today. Maybe you've been there in your life. Unsatisfied with God because they think the world offers them something that God doesn't. Listen to me, the world cannot offer you anything that God cannot offer you. The world cannot give you the joy that God can give. This is an important thing to know, because people are going to tell you in your life that you're going to be able to get this out of the world or that out of the world or this, and you can't find it in a Bible, you can't find it in God, you can't find it at church. But listen to me, you can find everything you need and want in the house of God. You can find everything you need in life when you trust in the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Listen to me, many believers are unsatisfied with their lives. Unsatisfied with where they're at. Maybe you've been there. I do not like where I'm at. I hate where I'm at. I'm living ways I'm not supposed to. I don't like my relationship with God. Listen to me, there's many reasons, but listen to me. Sometimes the reason our lives are not where they need to be is because we're not right with God. There's many Christians who don't like where their lives is because they're not living right with God. Listen to me. God will not bless your life if you're in the midst of sin. He will not do it. He will not bless your life. He will not give you that joy, that peace that only He can give if you are not living right with Him. That's important to understand, because listen to me, we all sin. We all mess up. We'll all find ourselves at a moment in life, even as a believer in Christ, where we sin and mess up and we wonder, how did we get here? It's important to understand that we will not be blessed by God if we're in the midst of sin. So let me ask you this hard question. This hard question this evening. Not a lot of us here this evening, but I think God moves even in the midst of a small group. This important question. When's the last time you've repented? We don't like this word, repent, but you see it scattered throughout the Word of God. Repentance is a necessity in the Christian life. Listen to me, it's not only just an action, it's an attitude, it's a heart. Repentance is the key to getting your life right with God. Repentance is not just feeling sorry about what you've done. It's a complete turnaround of the mind and the heart. A complete turnaround. In repentance, you can to just maybe make us understand, it's a complete disgust of what I've done. Have you ever been there, church? You ever been disgusted by what you've done? I have. Maybe if you have a hard time understanding it, think about where you were and where God has brought you from. I am disgusted at my old life, and I praise God for giving me new life. Amen, church. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let me give you a little bit of context. To understand chapter 7, we have to understand a few things. Who is Samuel? Samuel's a prophet. He's a leader. He's a judge. You know, through the book of Judges, you see all these different judges. Samuel is also a judge. He's also a leader. He's a different type of leader. A lot of those other judges were military leaders. But here, Samuel's kind of a spiritual leader for the people. He's a prophet. He's a leader. And listen to me. The Israelites go into this battle, and they lose. And they're like, well, let's take this Ark of the Covenant. We got this Ark. Remember I talked about a couple weeks ago with the Ark of the Covenant that it was supposed to stay in the tabernacle? Well, they decided, let's take this thing from the tabernacle and let it lead us through battle. And guess what happens? They lose a lot of people. I think it says about 30,000 people. Why? Because they trusted in the Ark more than they trusted in their God. That's important to understand. This first battle they lost, and not only did they lose that many people, they lost the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines took it. It's in their camp. But the interesting thing about what happens, the Philistines take the ark, and all these bad things happen to the Philistines. There's plagues. There's all tumors. All this stuff is happening because they have the Ark of the Covenant when they weren't supposed to. And this is an important thing to know, is they were like, yeah, we don't want this thing no more. It's funny how God can take something like have the enemy bring back the Ark of the Covenant to the people. That's exactly what the Philistines do. They're like, we do not want this anymore. Let's give it to this next town. That town's like, we don't want it anymore. Let's give it to the next town. And that town's like, we definitely don't want this anymore. And they give it back to the Israelites. And the Israelites, they're excited. They're like, yeah, we got it back. And that kind of picks us up here in verse 2. It says, the ark remained in Kirath, Yearim, a long time, 20 years in all. They're not able to put it back in the tabernacle. It's almost like the Ark of the Covenant has to kind of sit back on the shelf for a long time. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's not in the Holy of Holies anymore. But then it says, then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. Some of your translations say they lamented to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They grieved to the Lord. That's important to understand because they had reason to grieve to the Lord. Their cities were in ruin. Their lives were all messed up. They had lost lots of men in battle. They had a lot of reasons to lament to God, to cry out to God, to turn back to God, because God's blessed hand was no longer on them for their sins that they've committed. God took his hand away from them, and listen to me, their lives erupted. And listen to me closely, church, when God takes his blessed hand off of you, your life will erupt because you can't do life without him. You cannot do life, this life in this world, without God. God is the one who holds it all together. That's important. And the Israelites are starting to understand it. So in verse 3 it says, so Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord. And served the Lord only. Listen to me. Samuel is calling the people to repent. This theme happens a lot through the Old Testament. The Israelites do bad. They start serving other gods. And it takes a godly man like Samuel to say, you need to repent. And then they typically do listen. At least some of them do. And it says, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods. Listen to me. A lot of the times, it wasn't always that they threw God to the back. It's a lot of times they just added things with God. You know, we do the same thing today. Many Christians do that today. Oh, I love God. I'm a Christian. But I do like worshiping the stars. I do like worshiping myself. I do like worshiping my career, and so on and so on and so on. Listen to me. God's says we should serve Him and serve Him only. The Israelites constantly did this. They had a big problem with idols. They had a big problem with adding. Why? Because the world said that these idols offered them something. In fact, they offered nothing. They could do nothing. They were just wood. They were just metal. They were with whatever they were. They were just those things. But they were nothing of power, nothing of might, nothing of wonder. Not like our God. Not like our God is. Listen to me. When you call out to God, He listens to you. Those other idols, those Baals, those Asherahs, you could call out to them, but they didn't listen because they can't hear. God hears when we cry out to Him. That's important to understand, church. He says, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Not only does He call the people to repent, not only does He call the people to change on the inside, but He calls them to change on the outside. To change on the outside. You know, people need to see the change on the outside of your life. What does it say? So the Israelites put away their Baals, their Asherahs, and served the Lord only. They did it. They obeyed. The people actually obeyed when Samuel calls them to repent. Listen to me. You have to repent when you are convicted by God. That's your first step in obedience. Listen to me. Many of us have been there. Have you ever felt the conviction of the Lord? Your first step is to obey it. Not to run from it. Not to shove it down to your big toe. Not to do any of that. But to obey when God convicts. Because listen to me. God is not convicting you to make you feel really, really bad so you can just go about doing your own thing. No, He's convicting you so that you might understand how to get back to Him. We understand that, church? God wants you to draw closer to Him. And He understands also that you cannot get close to the holy and awesome, mighty God with sin in your life. So He's going to convict sometimes. He's going to put us under judgment sometimes. He's going to discipline us. Why? Because the Word says He disciplines those whom He loves. That's important to understand. Samuel calls the people to repent, and he calls the people to serve God only. To serve God only. Only. Are you serving God only? Is there things in your life? Is there things in your life that don't need to be there? Even in this small room, there's probably people that have additives to their life that don't need to be there. Verse 5. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. Listen to me. This is how I know the people were serious, because they fasted. Listen to me. Sometimes we sin so bad that maybe there's times we need to fast. Maybe there are times we need to fast for the things we do wrong. And the people were serious. That says, I do not care about anything else but getting my life right with God. I don't care about food. I don't care about anything else but getting my life right with God. What an attitude to have is you don't care about anything else but to get your life right with God. And this is an awesome picture. It says they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. This was an amazing symbol of repentance. It's emptying themselves. Emptying themselves. And allowing God to fill them up. That's what the pouring out of the water is. And listen to me, we need more spiritual leaders like Samuel says, "I will intercede for you." Maybe you're living right with the Lord today. You ought to be interceding for those who aren't. You ought to be interceding for your family that you know is far from the Lord. You ought to be interceding for your nation you know is far from the Lord. And listen to me, I love how Samuel says, "I'm going to intercede for you." And he's the one that drew the water. He's the one that poured it out. And then he fasted. But here, this is an amazing thing. It says, there they confess, "We have sinned against the Lord." Listen to me, church. We ought to take ownership of the things we've done wrong. This is exactly what the people are doing here when they say, we have sinned against the Lord. It is not somebody else. It wasn't the Philistines that made us do it. It wasn't this person that made us do it, or that person, or my mom, or my dad, or my friends. They made me do it. No, it says, we have sinned against the Lord. We have to take responsibility when we mess up, because if we do not take responsibility, we'll never get right with God. We'll never get right with God. We must take ownership of the wrongs we have done. Confession, listen to me, church, confession is a necessity in our walk with God. Many of us don't. We say it a lot in this church, but if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is an important thing, because you can go to the Father and you can give Him your sins and you can confess them. Say, Lord, I have sinned. And He says He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And listen to me, when you come to Christ, what do? You confess that Jesus is Lord. Confession is a necessity in the Christian life. You ought to get, let's get familiar with confession. We hate confession for some reason, but it's a necessity in the Christian life. You have to be able to do it. You have to take ownership of your sin. You have to take ownership of your sin. Verse 7. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines, they said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that He may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. Listen to me. The Lord answers us when we pray to Him. That's an amazing blessing, church. The Lord answers us when we pray to Him. And you know that the Israelites are serious about what's going on, because they tell Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord. Don't you stop crying out to the Lord for us, that He might actually rescue us. He might actually save us. And that would be an amazing blessing to see. But even Samuel took it to another extreme. He sacrificed the lamb for the sins of the people. We learned about that a couple weeks ago. Listen to me, the enemy's coming. The Philistines are coming. They heard. Maybe they thought Israel was weak because they're fasting. Maybe they thought Israel was weak because they're crying out. Whatever it might be. The Philistines probably thought that they were pretty weak at this moment. And now the people are afraid. Why would they be afraid? Well, they've already lost two battles. They've already lost two battles in their life. They have a lot of reason really to be afraid in the world. See, their first mistake was trusting that the ark was going to be the thing that saved them rather than God, rather than having faith in God. Now we're here, they should probably have a little bit more confidence than they do here, knowing that God was the one that promised them that He would fight all their battles if they only obeyed Him. If they only obeyed Him. The enemy's coming, they're afraid. And listen to me, when we're in a tough spot in life, the best thing you can possibly do is pray. We often don't go there very often. When you're in a tough spot, and many of us have been in tough spots in our life, the best thing you can do is pray, and sometimes the best thing you can do is pray without ceasing. Sometimes those drive-through prayers, they just don't cut it. When you got sin in your life, when your life's messed up, listen to me, the drive-through prayer sometimes doesn't cut it. When you want something to happen in your life, when you want to see someone saved, listen to me, sometimes the drive-through prayer doesn't cut it. When you need a victory in your life, sometimes the drive-through prayer doesn't cut it. Remember that, church. We need to be spending more time in prayer. I pray that in maybe 2023, the Christians would spend a little bit more time in prayer. I think that would be a cool thing. Amen? Amen. Samuel, he intercedes for the people. He prays. He keeps on praying. He makes his sacrifice. And what does it say? What a blessing. And the Lord answered him. Why did the Lord answer him? Because he was faithful to God. Samuel was a man of prayer. Samuel's written in Hebrews 11, those heroes of the faith. Samuel was a guy who cared about God, who trusted in God, and loved the people of God. Do you love your country, church? Do you love your country enough to pray for it? That's how you know you love your country. You pray for it. And sometimes you pray without ceasing. Sometimes you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying. Even when it doesn't seem like it's coming through, you keep praying anyways. Why? Because you're supposed to remain faithful to God. Verse 10. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to point below to Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Amen, church. That's an amazing thing. Listen to me. God fights for those who obey Him. God fights for those who obey and cry out to Him, those who pray for Him, those who trust in Him. And listen to me. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Is that not true, church? Thus far the Lord has helped us. If anything that this church ought to know, it could be written on the altar right here. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Oh, wow, did He help us in 2022? And listen to me, church. I can about bet 100% if we obey and cry out to God, He will continue to help us in 2023. Amen, church? And listen to me, it's the same for our own life. If there's one thing that could be written on my heart today, thus far the Lord has helped me. He has never not helped me. The only times He has not helped me is the times where I have not trusted in Him. And He didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. Rather, He convicted me to get me back on the right track. Praise the Lord for His conviction. Praise the Lord for His discipline. Praise the Lord, He gives me the opportunity to repent. God is not the God to say, once you mess up, you're done. You're out. He takes you out. No, He's the God who gives us the opportunity, who's slow to anger and abounds in love, who gives me the opportunity to repent and turn to Him. We don't know how much of a blessing that actually is, church. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. What an amazing thing to be written right there. Thus far the Lord has helped us. The Israelites didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it today. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Verse 13, it says, so the Philistines were subdued. They stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines in the towns of Ekron and Gath. That the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Wow, what an amazing thing. Listen to me. The people, they obeyed, they repented, they did what they had to, and listen to me, God gives them back everything they had lost. God gives them back the towns that the Philistines took. He gave them back the things that they probably shouldn't have had back. And listen to me, He does that in our life so often. Why did God restore those things? Because they repented. Listen to me, church. The power of repentance is beyond measure than what we deserve. It's such an amazing thing. They started in defeat, but they ended up in victory. They started in defeat, defeated by the Philistines, crushed, thought they were abandoned, whatever it might have been. And listen to me, they ended up in victory. Why? Because they repented. Listen to me, repentance is so important to our Christian life. It sometimes is the thing that separates us from even salvation. There are many people saying, oh, I know God is real, I know He exists, but oh wow, I want to keep my sin. I don't want to turn away from my sin. I like my sin too much. There's power in repentance. And listen to me, God rejoices when a sinner repents. That's an amazing thing. God rejoices in heaven when a sinner repents. Let me just read this small thing in Luke 15:8-10. It says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and say, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." Listen to me. God rejoices when a sinner repents. Why? Because they are trusting in Him, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen to me. You were once lost and He finds you. And when He finds you, He celebrates in heaven because you get your life right with God. We need more Christians getting their lives right with God. Amen, church. Amen. God rejoices even when one sinner repents. If even today it was good we were here, if one sinner repents, God will leave the 99, will He not? To go after the one that will repent. Read Luke 15, it's all about that. It's such a wonderful piece. Samuel continued as Israel's leader for all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel for all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he was held. He was also held court for Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. Listen to me. Samuel was a godly leader. He prays for the people. He calls the people to repent. Listen to me. A lot of times, some of us don't understand that, but as the pastor of the church, the overseer of the church, Jimmy, sometimes he has to call us out. Said, it's time to repent. It's time to repent. He said it a little differently on Sunday. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. And listen to me, many times God is calling us to come home. And the only thing that is keeping us from coming home is we're unwilling to repent. Listen to me, there's people doing horrible things, even in the church today. Sexual things, greedy things, prideful things. Not just in the church, but in our own homes, schools, all those places, people are doing evil things. Sinful things. And God says, if they repent, I'll relent. I won't send the judgment on them. I won't send the destruction on them. You see that throughout the Bible. When the people get right with God, when they become serious about the things they've done in life that are not good, and say, Lord, we've sinned, we've messed up, we've fallen short, God gives us the strength if we just repent. Can I tell you, maybe, just maybe, the world would be in a little bit better of a spot if believers themselves would repent. I'm not talking about people, lost people coming to salvation. Oh, wow, that would be amazing, wonderful, awesome. But maybe the church would look a little different if the people of God would repent. Even in this small group tonight, someone probably needs to repent. Repentance isn't something you do young. It's not something you do at middle age. It's not something you do at old age. It's something you do for your whole life. There are many times, as a believer, I've had to repent. I've had to say, God, I've messed up, I've sinned, I've done something I shouldn't have. I've sinned against you. Will you forgive me? And because I know the Word of God, because I know He cares for me and loves me, He forgives me of my sin. That's a promise, not only to me, that's a promise to anyone who confesses their sins to God. He relents. Can I tell you, church, we don't deserve a God like that. We don't deserve a God who loves us like that. That's true love. That's true love. See, maybe your life today is not going right. Maybe today your life's not going right. You don't like where you're at. It might be because you're not right with God. Not every bad thing that happens to us is because we're not right with God. We've talked about that before. But sometimes it is. And many times I think it is. But only you know that. I don't know if you need to repent tonight. Only you know that. But I can promise you something. It's an amazing promise. That if you repent, He forgives us of our sins. That's a promise. An amazing promise. But also, God's not going to bless your life. You're not going to somehow get to a better life without first repenting. So if you don't like where your life is, maybe the first step is to repent and ask God to forgive you. Sometimes our first step, it's like they started in defeat and they ended up in victory. And the one thing that made that happen was they repented. So maybe you need a victory tonight. First, you got to repent. Let's stand, church.